the default death for every person apart from Jesus Christ is passing into condemnation. The default life for every person apart from Jesus Christ is what he refers to here, living for yourself.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, there may be somebody listening today says, well, what's wrong with living for myself?
Well, there's a straight answer out of the scriptures to that, that Jesus Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. He died so that I would not be living for myself. And thank God for that. We're going to see in the message today, Steve, that to live for yourself is a path to misery. It is not possible to live for yourself. To make yourself the boss and yourself the servant is going to end up with losing both sides of the ledger. And the only way to find genuine joy is not in living for self, but in living for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us.
You know, there really is a powerful part of today's message coming up in just a little bit where Colin explains that in much greater detail. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that as we open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and continue the message, the love of Christ. Here is Pastor Colin.
Without Jesus, death will be a passing into condemnation. With Jesus, an entering into celebration. Now, that's what he's talking about here in verse 14. One has died for all, and therefore all have died. Jesus, in other words, entered the condemnation, the death that you would have died, so that when death comes for you, if you're in Jesus Christ, it will not be a passing into condemnation. It will rather be an entrance into celebration. And so here's settled conviction number one. We've concluded, Paul says, let me put it this way, Jesus died in my place and he has changed the face of death for me forever. That's settled in my mind. I've got that. He passed into our condemnation in order to bring us into celebration. If you are in Jesus Christ, passing into condemnation happened for you at the cross. It happened at the cross as far as you are concerned. That's why it says he died for all and therefore all died. The passing into condemnation happened as far as you are concerned if you're in Jesus Christ at the cross. So whenever the moment of death comes for you, whether it's through a sudden accident that was completely unforeseen or if it may be years and years from now, when that moment comes for you, it will not be a passing into condemnation that was done in Jesus. It will be an entrance into celebration. That is what is left and what is ahead for you. Now, that is the most amazing transformation. He says it's settled in our minds that Jesus has changed the face of death for us forever and forever. And the more that grips the mind, the more the love of Christ that caused him to do this begins to permeate into our experience. It takes control of the heart when this settles in the mind. And then there's something else. Not only how Jesus changes death, but how Jesus changes life. Now, I want you to notice what he says here. The love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, verse 15, that he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Now, think about this. The default death for every person apart from Jesus Christ is passing into condemnation. The default life for every person apart from Jesus Christ is what he refers to here, living for yourself. The Bible says this quite clearly in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. All seek their own interests, not that of Jesus Christ. In other words, unless something radically changes, unless there's some amazing intervention in a human life, the default life is to live for ourselves. The default death is to pass into condemnation. And what we're being told here is that not only has Jesus changed the default death, but he also changes the default life. So that we will no longer live for ourselves. Now, friends, what does it mean to live for yourself? I spent some time meditating on that. What is it to live for self? If you live for self, self is an uncrowned king. Self is a pretender to the throne of God. If you live for self, it is a very dangerous thing to do. It's very dangerous to live for and serve an uncrowned king, because what happens when the true king comes back? What happens to self and to the servant of self when the true king returns? Second, if you live for self, self is always an unhappy boss. Now think about this with me. It's a bit of a brain twister, but I think you'll get there. The problem with living for yourself is that you make yourself both the boss and the servant. You put yourself, in other words, both sides of the ledger. If you live for yourself, you are both the one who is served and you are the one who does the serving. Live for yourself. So the demands that you set become the demands that you have to keep. And this is why the experience of a person who lives for self is always that you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's like taking stuff out of one bank account, putting it into another. They're both yours. Nothing actually changes. The balance is still the same. You just move things around. And that is why the person who lives for self is constantly in conflict. You will find this to be the case. If you live for yourself, you will often find in this strange position that you are beating up on yourself because you are unhappy. Now, how illogical is that? But you see, if self is unhappy, who is there to beat up on except the one who is serving self, that is, the one who is living for self? So you end up beating up on yourself. It's inevitable. It is a completely miserable and impossible existence. Here's how it works. Let me give you some examples, and you could take this much further in conversation this week and in application. You look in the mirror, and self, the boss, is not happy because she wants to have a more pleasing image. So she beats up on self, the servant, who suffers for not being pretty enough. You look at your life, and self, the boss, says, you should have accomplished more. So who's to blame? Self, the servant, gets beaten up for not measuring up. Then here's what happens. You do that for some years, and you beat up on yourself, because who else is there to beat up? You're living for yourself, and so the boss and the servant are both you. So you come to this point, you say, no, this is no good. I need to go and get some counseling. You get some counseling. And you've got this new insight. You say, I know what it is. I know why I'm not happy. I'm being too hard on myself. I need to lighten up. I need to give myself a break. So that's what you do. And here's the problem. You're still not happy. Because while self, the servant, has been given a break, guess what? Self, the boss, is no longer being served. So you're still not happy. Living yourself is an absolute nightmare. When you lay it out as the master, you get crushed as the servant. When you lighten up on the servant, you get shortchanged as the master. You cannot possibly win. And all around us is a culture that says, live for yourself. Be whatever you want to be. Be your own Lord. Be your own Savior. And it's just assumed that this is going to be the path on which everybody finds happiness, and that it would be a great sacrifice if you did anything other than live for yourself. And what I'm saying to you is, if you just think about it, it is not possible to be happy on the basis of living for yourself. You're always going to be in conflict. You're always robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're never any further forward, whichever way you come at it. And so here's marvelous good news, that Jesus Christ comes not only to change the face of death for us, but to change the face of life for us. And here's the change, that those who are in him will no longer live for themselves. Be released from that, from the utter misery, the dead end that it always is, the perpetual conflict. and to bring you into the joy that can only be found in living for him. And as if it were not bad enough that to live for self is to live for an uncrowned king and to live for a perpetually unhappy boss, to live for self means that you end up with an unrewarded servant. If you live for yourself, who is there to reward you? Who is there to smile on you when your work is done if you live for yourself? Who is there to embrace you? Who is there to rejoice with you? If you live for yourself, who can ever say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy"? Who could say that to you if you live for yourself? No, you live for yourself. When your work is done, you look up and you find you are all alone, and there is no smile, and there is no well done, and there is no love, and there is no joy, because the one for whom everything has been done is yourself.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Love of Christ. It's part of our series from 2 Corinthians 5 entitled Don't Lose Heart, and we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. By the way, if you ever miss a broadcast, you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your app store. That's a great way to listen to Pastor Colin's teaching on demand whenever it fits your schedule. One other way to listen? Get the entire series on CD. Ask about Don't Lose Heart when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or visit our website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
You live for yourself. When your work is done, you look up and you find you are all alone, and there is no smile, and there is no love, and there is no joy, because the one for whom everything has been done is yourself. So here's settled conviction number two, that Jesus died not only to change the face of death for me forever, but Jesus died to bring me from the misery of living for myself into the joy of living for him. It's the only way that real joy can ever be found. We've concluded this, he says, that Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So here we have it, friends. There is for human beings a default life and a default death. The default life is that we live for ourselves. The default death is that we pass into condemnation. And here is what Jesus Christ has done. He has died our default death to change our default life. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised. Now, Paul says, these are the two convictions, the transformation of death, transformation of life by Jesus Christ, which as they settle in the human mind, we've concluded, we're convinced, we're persuaded about this. And as that has restructured our thinking, Paul says, so it has fired our hearts. This is why we are controlled by the love of Christ. Now, three words, and then we're through. Actually, there's a few words about each of the three words, but we're nearly there, is what I'm telling you. Here's word number one, Jesus, Jesus. Don't miss the most obvious thing about these marvelous verses. They're all about Jesus. It's Jesus who died. It's Jesus who rose. We're being delivered from living for ourselves in order to live for him. It's all about Jesus. That's why we read the story of the rich young ruler earlier in the service. Because here was someone who was model. And here the rich young ruler was someone who was deeply religious. And because he was all about himself, he wanted to make sure that he got heaven as well. You know, I want everything in this world and I want everything in the next world as well. And His story is a very sad one because it tells us that, did you notice this word when it was read? He walks away from Jesus because he's not willing to become a follower of Jesus. He just wants to be moral and religious and have heaven. And so he walks away from Jesus disheartened, the Bible says. Disheartened. Don't lose heart. He did lose heart. Why? Because he walked away from Jesus. Our series is called Don't Lose Heart. How am I not to lose heart? I walk towards Jesus, you see. Here's the thing. Have you discovered yet, and you see this with great sadness sometimes, that moral and religious people can sometimes be the most selfish people on the face of the planet? Have you noticed that? And here's the reason, that being moral and being religious has no power whatsoever to break the default human life, which is to live for self. And so you see this in the Pharisees, you see it in the rich young ruler, you can see it all around us in religious circles. Sadly, too often, the people who are moral and religious are fundamentally about themselves, all this in heaven too. And not the love of Christ. Not the love of Christ. So being moral will never release you from the default mode of living. It takes the power of a risen Savior to change that direction of life. And that's why Paul at the end of the verse says that he not only died, but he rose. You can't be saved by a dead Savior. You need a living Savior whose power is actually able to come and transform your life. And this is what happens when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Changes the face of death for you, changes the face of life for you. But that never happens by being moral or being religious. It's Jesus who does it. Jesus. Second word, now. That those who live might no longer live for themselves. See what he's saying? That's why I say this is the default life, is to live for self. He says no longer. Just assumes that that's how it always was, how it always is and will be, except for Jesus. But you come to a living knowledge of Jesus, you can no longer live for yourself. And so as we've been brought into this place today, where what Jesus has done to change death and what Jesus has done to change life has been opened up before us, why would anyone in the congregation spend one more day living for self? How could you possibly do that? And the misery of it. Why would you not? Why would every one of us not today be saying, Jesus Christ, I am so done with living for self. I have as best as I can right now to give into your hands all that I am and all that I have, that I may live for you, and that you as my Lord will show me and lead me in what that actually means for me. But I am so done with living for myself. No longer. No longer. How could you hang about with life as it is when Jesus offers the transformation of death and of life to you? And the last word is simply this: Jesus, now. And the third word is you. And I just end here for this reason. Did you notice verse 14? We have concluded this, that one died for all. All means every person in the third service. And it included everyone in the first two services, by the way, as well. And everyone at every other campus. It includes everybody in the world. It includes you. It includes you. And here's what it means. It means that there is hope for you for this reason. That everything that God did through Jesus Christ on the cross to change death and to change life can be yours today. There are no exclusions. Nobody who has pushed Jesus away so long that he would not welcome you today. Nobody who is beyond the bounds of grace because you have sinned too badly and he would turn his back on you today. Nobody in that, he died for all. So what God has done in Jesus Christ to change death and to change life can be yours today. So why would you not come to him? Tell him that you see your need of him in death and in life, more than you've ever seen it before. Tell him that you see that the only hope of a changed experience at death and a changed experience right now of life, your only hope lies in him. But you do have hope in him. Tell him you're tired of living for yourself. Tell him you've seen now that it can only ever leave you in conflict and misery. Tell him your many sins and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make you his own. Ask him to lead you into this new life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Come to him today. And as you come to him, settle these convictions in your mind that Jesus died in your place to change the face of death for you forever. And that Jesus died to deliver you from the misery of living for yourself, and that he is able to lead you into a new life. And not only is he able to do this, he is ready to do this, and he is willing to do this for you. And so, unlike the rich young ruler who was so disheartened as he walked away from Jesus, you come to Jesus Christ as you are and put your trust in him. As you walk towards Jesus, you will not lose heart.
What a challenging way to wrap up today's program, by thinking about what it means to come to Christ and how in doing so, we won't lose heart. You know, as you've been listening to this message from Pastor Colin, I hope that if you do know Christ as your Savior, you've been encouraged by what you've heard. But if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, I hope that as you've been listening, you've been thinking, I want that. I want to begin that relationship with him. So come to Christ. But maybe you've got questions about that. Well, contact us here at Open the Bible. You can talk with one of our staff members. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you can contact us through our website, openthebible.org. Well, today's message, The Love of Christ, is part of a larger series on 2 Corinthians 5 entitled, Don't Lose Heart. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can order a copy of the series on CD. Ask about Don't Lose Heart when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We can't do what we do without your generosity, so thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what is something that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the first thing is probably the subtitle, which I think is full of hope. How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. I think that's marvelous. And there's a profound truth here that when we endure dark experiences of doubt, that God can actually work in and through these to bring us to a stronger faith. And so perhaps someone listening right now is thinking, oh, I think I'm maybe like Judas who betrayed Jesus. Well, think about Peter, who also denied his faith, but then was wonderfully restored and became a pillar of the church. So you need to know that your doubts may be the very thing that God will use to strengthen your faith. And this book, I think, very practically will help you to deal with your doubts. It'll equip you to walk through the struggle and to see how God can work redemptively for your good and for his glory.
Well, we want to say thank you for your financial gift and supporting Open the Bible this month by sending you a copy of this book. Again, it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? Most people can think of someone, and many are finding that someone in their life is open to this invitation. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that will help you open the Bible with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible has 15 short sections, each with 5 discussable questions that will open conversations around the Word of God. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.